Hog Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my vivacious partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and I pray your Resurrection Sunday was as lovely as ours.
Yeah, you know, not only was the potluck food amazing, the weather turned out pretty good for our family gathering and yearly kite flying in a windy setting.
That's right, but more importantly, the mood and therefore the opportunity was totally set to discuss what the Lord has done for us. And because of that advantageous atmosphere, a lost soul came to Christ.
Yeah, man, that was a blessed day.
And since technically we are still in the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so thought it appropriate to talk about what else happened during away in the past Passover season, exactly 6 months prior to Jesus' birth.
Yeah, it's a very important event that many Christians don't know about.
For sure. And we will resume teaching on the minor prophets in 2 weeks in the book of Micah. But now let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, as we continue this week to reflect on the Passover season, we again thank you with immense gratitude for sending your Son to pay the debt for our sins, and because of your resurrection, we know we will live forever. We pray for our president, the many prayer requests of your church body, and specifically for the needs of those listening right now suffering from severe diseases, and because you live, we can face tomorrow knowing you will carry us through all our diseases, and because you live, we can face tomorrow knowing you will carry us through all our afflictions. Bless today's teaching, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. So, we all know about the Mueller report and President Trump's flaws, but nothing illegal.
Yeah, well, so those without sin should cast the first stone.
Unfortunately, the progressive Dems will never stop, and they just won't let him do his job.
Yeah, it's sad times.
Other news besides those horrific attacks on Christians and the churches in Sri Lanka. Well, President Trump will no longer waive the sanctions on any country to buy Iranian oil, and this includes China, who will certainly try to get around those sanctions.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to crush Iran economically.
For sure, and I think it should work. And Saudi Arabia and the UAE, and as well as the United States now, are more than willing to supply all their oil needs necessary for those countries. Even so, we will also see our gas prices rise. I think we're already seeing that. And not because we have a shortage, but because of the perception of running out on the global market.
America's enemies are really being enhanced and growing.
Yes, which makes me think of Jeremiah 30:11. Look it up if you don't know it. But let's move on to Israel, where Prime Minister Netanyahu is still celebrating his victory while pulling together his coalition that is really going quite well.
So what about the peace treaty?
Well, another delay.
Yeah, heard that.
Yes, they will wait now until after the Muslims' Ramadan to unveil it. Because if the Palestinians don't like it, well, they just might rebel even more so during this season, which is well known for its increased violence anyway.
So, now what date do we have to wait till?
June. Ramadan is May 5th to June 4th, and then Pentecost is Sunday, June 9th.
So maybe reveal it on that feast day.
God only knows for sure. But remember, it will have to be tweaked. Nothing will be signed that day. But if all goes well, could be confirmed this fall, which would be the right timing, if it is the Treaty of Daniel 9:27, which most think of that it is. And according to Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36, Jerusalem will be divided, with a part of it given to either the Palestinians or, in the case of the Temple Mount, be made international, but soon will be controlled by Rome. Israel would lose its sovereignty, But along with that giveaway, they, according to Revelation 11, would be given permission to build its temple.
So the Antichrist can sit in it and declare himself God.
That's what Scripture says, Matthew 24:15, Daniel 9:27, and Daniel 12:11.
You know, before that, it will become an area for all faiths to worship. What they say is the same God.
But not so. Islam worships the false god named Allah, another abomination to the true God Yahweh.
So, the one world religion called Mystery Babylon.
Exactly. Revelation 17 is just a click away.
Yes, it is. Okay. You can read the many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, 44021. Please know how much we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministry.net. And for our local listeners, mark your calendars for Friday, May 3rd, as we will be at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
Oh, do come and take part in our open forum to ask your own questions concerning the Lord's soon return.
Amen. Okay, as we said, we are still in the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
That is true. So, let's conclude our teaching this week on the fulfilled spring feast, which began with Passover on Nisan 14, Hebrew calendar, which technically lasts only one day from sundown to sundown. Then, on the 15th of Nisan, begins the 7 days of unleavened bread.
Where the first day is a holy day.
Also called a high Sabbath because it's treated just like a Sabbath.
And then the last day of unleavened bread, Nisan 22, is also a high holy day.
Mm-hmm.
And the Feast of First Fruits is always the Sunday during the 7 day Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yes. And by the way, the Jewish people mostly ignore this day of First Fruits because, it's not a holy day in Scripture, but more probably because we Christians claim it is Christ's resurrection.
Well, which it was.
Uh-huh. So, the one day of Passover and the 7 days of unleavened bread equals 8 days. So today, the Jewish people just call it in its entirety the season of Passover. And today we will talk about a mostly unknown but still a formal event to those involved that happened during the Passover season, I'd say about 2,000 years ago.
Actually, 6 months before Jesus was even born.
That's right. It's the birth of John the Baptist on Passover.
So then what would take place 8 days later?
You mean on the last day of unleavened bread?
Yes, I do.
Well, by utilizing just a little Hebraic roots from Scripture, I might add, it's not too difficult.
Yeah, of course, John's circumcision.
Right, which, by the way, was a very big deal, even as important as one's birth.
Well, because it's a blood covenant to God.
Yes. So today, let's explain how we know this, for we have gleaned a wealth of information by just understanding one verse in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. And honey, would you read that?
There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
Yes. The key words here are of the course, or some translations say divisions of Abijah. This is how we know when John the Baptist was not only conceived, but when he was born, and therefore when Jesus was born and even incarnated. As a student of his word, it truly behooves all of us to understand these divisions of the priesthood.
as described in the Book of Chronicles, chapter 24.
Yes, and we will explain this all today. So, if you don't let your mind wander, you will easily be able to see this too. And because, as you well know by now, nothing is in Scripture without a good reason. We learn from verse 5 that John the Baptist's father was of the Levitical priesthood family known as Abijah.
Therefore, so was his son, John the Baptist.
Yes, and there were 24 families, which they termed courses of Levitical priests. And each course served 1 week of temple servitude twice a year. The family name of Abijah, according to Chronicles 24:10, would serve the eighth course of every biblical calendar year, counting from Nisan, and also the eighth course on the civil calendar, starting from Tishrei as well.
So by this knowledge, we know when Zechariah served in the temple.
Right. And we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, that he received his revelation that Elizabeth would finally conceive, and then to name him John. Again, we know that each Levite family served 1 week, twice a year, according to the order that David, directed by God, told them. Oh, and one more important dot. Three times a year, all the priests would serve, during Passover, on Pentecost, and during Tabernacles.
So, Zechariah would have served the eighth week plus the week at Passover.
Exactly. So that would be the ninth week of the biblical year, which brings you right up to Pentecost. You can look at any Hebrew calendar and count 9 weeks beginning in Nisan, and you come to the time of Pentecost when all would serve. But, and this is really important, they would actually cast lots to see who would actually have the privilege to solely burn the incense.
And surprise, it was Zechariah's.
Imagine that. Which means he was alone to privately hear from the angel Gabriel. By the way, some priests never get to burn the incense because it is always done by casting lots.
Or in today's lingo, the throw of the dice.
Okay. Elizabeth would conceive that evening of Pentecost because we know by Luke 1 verse 15 that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit from the time of conception. Again, how fitting and so like God for John to be conceived on the day the Holy Spirit would later descend upon those in Jerusalem on a Pentecost Sunday in Acts chapter 2.
It really is amazing to realize these truths of God's precise detail.
I know. So, voila, 280 days later brings us to Passover when John the Baptist would have been born.
Yeah, it all fits like a glove.
It is interesting that a tradition at Passover meal is to set a special place setting for Elijah and to open the door to welcome him in.
Jesus did say in Matthew 11 that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah.
Yes, and Elijah certainly was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and Elijah as well. But the actual infilling was to John the Baptist and later the disciples in John 20:21, to be followed by the believers in Acts chapter 2. Before we read in Luke, let's reiterate again. The week of their service began every Sabbath. They would repeat the same order 6 months later, beginning on their civil calendar of Tishrei.
Or the second 6 months of the year.
So, twice a year, the head of each priestly family would take his turn to serve in the temple.
Plus three more times at the major festivals.
Now, the reason we know Luke is referring to the first set, or the first half on the biblical year of 24 weeks from Nisan, is that Luke would have said in the order of the second division, but Luke said in the order of his division, which always means the first month of the biblical calendar. Now, the other reason we know this is Jesus would not begin his ministry and could not begin his ministry till the age of 30, which his birthday had to be at Tabernacles since he died at Passover, and his ministry was 3.5 years. Now, Luke had to be referring to the first set of weeks beginning in Nisan. We also know from Luke that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus.
And we will cover this again as we get closer to the real Christmas.
As we always do at the Feast of Tabernacles. But let me give you one paragraph synopsis. Since we know what week of the year Zechariah served in the temple, we can know when John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost and born on Passover. And because of that information, we can know Jesus' birth at Tabernacles with counting back 280 days. Therefore, Jesus' incarnation was during Hanukkah, actually on the eighth day. And Jesus' number is 8, meaning never-ending or eternity. Now, I recapped all that so you would more easily understand our study tonight. So now let's read some scripture and put it all together for you. So, honey, if you could reread Luke 1, verse 5, and then continue through verse 16.
There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his court.
Oh, let me just mention, too, that in your Bibles, it should footnote Chronicles 24 so that you can see what week of the year this is.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
Again, they would cast lots to see who would have the privilege of burning the incense in the holy place. Unusual to get picked. And some never did, but God wanted Zacharias to burn it, for the angel Gabriel would come to him when alone with this important message, verse 10.
And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink.
He would later take the vow of a Nazarite, by the way.
And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.
Again, very fitting that he would be conceived during Pentecost.
And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
Okay, the story goes on that Zacharias questioned the angel, so he was struck dumb temporarily. And we see from verse 23 and 24, when the days of Zacharias' service were completed, that he departed into his own house. And it goes on to say that after those days, but I have to stop here and tell you that the phrase used there is meta tata, and it means immediately. Okay? So immediately his wife Elizabeth conceived. Had to be that Pentecost evening when his temple duties at sundown were finished. In fact, he probably ran home. Hallelujah. So Zacharias remained mute, unfortunately, until John. Oh, not when John was born, but rather 8 days later. We know this from verses 59 through 64. It was on the day of his circumcision, which would have been on the eighth day of the Passover season, and more precisely, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. then Zacharias was no longer mute. So now you know why this day is important. You know, circumcision was a very important typology. Way back in Genesis 17, God told Abraham in verse 10 that every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Wow. The New Testament, as in Romans 4, explains how today, because of Yeshua, we are under the new covenant of faith through grace, where now our hearts must be circumcised. So, why did they wait to the eighth day to be circumcised? Well, first of all, Jesus' number is 8. But also, that's the day that the vitamin K levels are the highest in little boys, where there's less possible blood flow. In other words, it clots more easily. So, there's a reason for everything again. But now you have a little more information to see how precise and detailed God is. It's absolutely amazing. And the importance, of course, of this final day of Passover, Nisan 22nd, which is this Saturday. Would you have ever even thought you could know the exact calendar day that Zacharias was able to speak again? How many times have you read Luke 1, verse 5, and just skipped over the course of Abijah? Well, now you know why it's in there. Please share this information because it's really interesting. Again, just to understand how detailed God is. Everything is already set in place. Now, the major question is, how about your heart? Is it circumcised? How well do you know Him? Is He personal to you? You know, you can stop whatever you're doing at any time, at any day, and just invite Him into your heart. But I suggest you do it pretty quickly because He is coming back soon. Jesus, your Savior, has totally paid your debt to sin. Why don't you take the free gift? Why do you prefer to pay the debt yourself? It's not going to be pleasant if you choose that way. Again, it's always your choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing of number 6. 22 through 27. Yevrekah Adonai v'yishmerekah, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yinekah, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yisem l'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And this is true to all of you that know Him personally. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in every way possible. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Don't forget to pray for our president. Lift him up. Oh my, these are rough times. We're in a culture shock for sure. But stay true to the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Don't look left or right. Just stay straight. And He'll be there for you to walk you through all the afflictions that we know we're going to have. Amen. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.